following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Well, listen, this is our final time where we get to look at a book in the Bible called Proverbs. We've been in a series now for several weeks, just called Improv, and in the book of Proverbs. And so, in my opinion, I think that the verse we're going to be looking at today is probably the pinnacle verse of the whole book. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Probably you've memorized this verse as I did when I was a kid. The verse is just simply, trust in the Lord. Let's say it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. I can remember shortly after coming to really commit my life to Jesus, age 25. I'd fouled up. I'd received Jesus as a young boy at 7, but got messed up in between there. But I remember at age 25 where I made a decision, enough. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. And I remembered this verse. My dad had me memorize this verse when I was quite young. And I remember that this verse was somehow on the visor of my mind when I began to really see, okay, I'm making a change with my life. I've messed up, scarred up, been dinged and bruised and such. And so, God, I really decide I am going to follow you. But I had to decide, what does this really mean for me? And how serious am I about really giving trust to God with my life? Like, how far was I going to go? Because there's a few things I knew. At the very least, I was certainly really willing to receive grace and forgiveness for sin. I mean, at the very least, I knew that I needed a Bible, and from time to time I should read it. The very least, I knew that I should be praying from, you know, maybe over a meal or two, and maybe before I go to bed, or when there's those real crisis times, I knew that at the very least I should do that. I knew at the very least I should probably be a part of a church. I wasn't sure about that. I wasn't really sure if I really wanted to be a part of a church. I loved Jesus. I was struggling, quite honestly, with the church. But I knew that at the very least I should be a part of one. I knew there were some things, though, I had to really sort out. How far was I really going to go? Like, trust in the Lord with all my heart? I knew that there were some things that I really needed to settle, because I saw people in my life, they were like flat-out dedicated types. I mean, they were so committed that their whole behavior was shaped by their commitment. Their morals, the way they worked, the way they treated their money, their relationships. I mean, everything about them, it just seemed to be about their commitment to Jesus. And I had to settle, you know, and figure out how was this new commitment, how far was I going to let it affect my life every day, really? And this verse just kept challenging me to make God number one in my life. And I was being challenged to just like put my whole life and trust in God's hands and see what would happen. And to be really honest with you, it frightened me. I mean, I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted my sins to be forgiven, that's for sure. But there was just something, if I were really honest, about doing that. That, honestly, was hard for me. Simply because there was just some things in my life that I didn't even know what it meant to trust the Lord in. Because I kind of thought, well, I know that I was blowing it in a lot of areas. I didn't think I was blowing it in every area. And how is it that I couldn't control a few things but give God, you know, the areas that I just didn't seem to do a good job at? And so there was this sense and this feeling of trust. What does it look like for me to really trust in the Lord? And this idea, this concept came to me, and that is, you know, simply this. Mike, what happens if you just give complete trust to God and see what he does? Just trust him fully until or unless he proves untrustworthy. And if he does, then change my plans. But why don't you try? I mean, Mike, you've done 25 years that hasn't gone completely well for you. You're at a point in your life where honestly you have brought yourself to conclude you need Jesus. Why don't you just trust him fully and see what God does with your life? Just trust him. Just trust him fully. I pray today for every one of us. We'd really think about trust, maybe in a new and a fresh way, about really trusting Jesus in a new and a fresh way. We say the verse, I memorized the verse, you've memorized the verse, we just said the verse, but I really want us to go after, what does it really look like to trust Jesus? This morning it's going to be rather simple. I'm just going to take four lines of this verse, I'm going to walk through each line, and I'm going to be pressing myself, I'm going to be pressing all of us to just really be honest about what these words in this verse are really calling from us. So the first line really simply is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, what does this really mean? I want to just have you and I think back to days, maybe you're in these days right now where you're dating. Some of us, those dating days are behind us. But whatever it is, think back to a time when you were dating. And there came this person that just crossed your path in some capacity where you looked at this gal, you looked at this guy, and your heart went all crazy. Your heart just started to do the dance. You know what I mean. It's the pitter-patter, it's the sweaty palms, it's the, wow, I cannot believe what I'm just looking at. That person. And then there comes that point where you finally have enough courage to actually talk to them, talk to her, talk to him. There's this conversation, and it takes a lot of courage because you already have these feelings, and you feel them deeply, and there's something going on. And maybe you even have the courage to actually ask them out on a date. So date night comes. And let's just say you're the gal, and this guy's asked you out, and he's going to be at your house at 7 o'clock to pick you up. So you're excited about this as well as he's obviously excited about this. But it's 6:30, and you're getting ready, and you're trying to be casual, but you're trying to look your best. And so you're in your third outfit, and you keep changing, and you don't know what looks right, and your hair isn't staying in place. I don't have that problem. But there's some things that you just feel, oh, it's not quite right. 6:45, 6:50. It's 5 to 7. Guy said he'd be there at 7. And all of a sudden, it's like 1 minute to 7. And you see this car pull up on the driveway. And whether you're aware of it or not, you're somehow evaluating how trustworthy this person is. They said they'd be there at 7. So just by them showing up at 7 is like, little trust. Hey, listen, if they showed up an hour late and they didn't say anything about it, would your trust increase or decrease? Decrease. All the time, even being on time, there's somewhat of an evaluation as to whether this person is trustworthy or not trustworthy. Okay, let's go back to the date. Let's just say that there's some conversational risks that are taking place. And you're listening to the dialogue. You're listening to the story. You're listening to what this person is giving you is, you know, matters of the heart. And all the while you're listening to this dialogue, there's this thing going on in you and going on in me, and that is, how sincere is this story really? Or is this far-fetched? Because you've never really met this person before. You're exchanging some heart stuff. How sincere or how far-fetched is this? And all the while you're doing this evaluation, how trustworthy is this person? Maybe there comes that point in time where it's like exclusive dating. You have this conversation where, you know, I'm not really interested in dating anyone else. It's just you. There's a whole bunch of trust measuring now as to how that covenant is treated. I mean, it's just you now. How has that commitment gone? And again, trust increase or trust decrease? It's all in the way that relationship works. And the point I'm trying to simply make is this. In order to build trust. Friends, we have to take risks. There are risks involved, always are. I mean, there are just steps to take in order to find out how trustworthy really is this person. You just can't sit around doing exactly nothing and then all of a sudden rise and say, I trust or I don't trust. That doesn't even make sense. It doesn't work. It's way messier than that. There's little steps involved, and then there's evaluation involved, and then there's some determination involved. Yes, they're trustworthy. They're trustworthy because we've had these experiences. Or, I can't trust them because they've been dropping balls too often and there's inconsistencies. But whatever the case, you have to reach your conclusion by being engaged. You've got to engage. Now, it's the same way with our walk with Jesus. I mean, our relationship with God is such that, you know, wouldn't it be just great if every one of us could say, yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be just phenomenal if we could? But the problem is that you can't say that. You can't say that statement in a vacuum, right? You can't just make that statement without there being, you know, any real experiences to know that you can. It has no meaning. You can't say it. It needs engagement in order for us to really, truly be able to say, I trust Jesus. He's proved faithful. It was like the 11th hour. And God, you came through. It's going to be really an interesting thing for our church because we get to witness a miracle in Jay and Deanna's life. I'm telling you this, Jay and Deanna will never, ever forget. Never forget. September 2010. Because that's the time when God came through. There's just something about engaging, continuing to have these everyday interactions where there's the opportunity and experiences for trust to be built. As a church, our prayer is that we hope that there's trust in God. Every time we gather together, there's just something in your life, something in your heart where you'd say, wow, I never really thought of that before, but you know, the truth of the matter is I feel that I can really depend on God in a way that maybe a month or a year ago I wasn't there. I mean, I just pray that you're coming to the point. I believe that Jesus is who he said he is. I believe that the Bible is truth. I believe. I pray that as you stay, you know, connected with, that you feel that your heart is being grown, that you're being equipped, that there's something of trust in God that is growing. I mean, that's why we exist. We exist to lead people to become passionately committed followers of Jesus. And in order for that to even happen, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. I just pray that there's something even today. Maybe some of you have not come to that point to really trust Jesus. Listen to these words in Romans 10:13. It says, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. But you got to call. And you've got to trust enough that you'd say, boy, you know, God, you're whispering in my ear gently that you're real. You're whispering in my heart that you love me. You're whispering that my sin can be forgiven. Grace is available. You've taken care of that payment on the cross. So I call. I'm calling out on your name. When people take a step, when they know that they can trust God, there's something right in our soul. That's all God asks. Just take a step toward him. But sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm a little afraid. I mean, I don't know if I can really call out on God to be the leader, Savior, my Lord. What if I call out, maybe you say, what if I call out and there's no one home in heaven? Like, what if all I'm met with is silence? What if there's no one there? Ever feel like that? I was 18 years old, and I had a desire to parachute, skydive, and so finally had to wait till I was 18 because I wanted to do it when I was 17, but my parents wouldn't give me permission. And they'd have to sign off on it if I did, so I had to wait till 18. So I waited till 18. I remember 3 hours we spent on what they called ground training, and really what that was is they would show us how the parachute was to work. And so we had a reserve, we had the main, and we would jump off and they'd show us how to land and such. And so they, from time to time, they said, just trust your equipment. Just trust your equipment. Yeah, right. At 3 foot on a little dock like that and jumping into pea gravel, you know, that's one thing. You know, I trust my equipment. It's another thing, friends, being like 3,500 feet in the air on a plane sitting on the side. And they said, just trust your equipment. Oh, man, this is a little different. When did I really trust the equipment? It's when I jumped. Thank God it opened. I'm telling you, honestly. I mean, it's we say we trust, but some of us, we've just been so afraid to actually jump out of the plane. Jesus says, you know, you can trust me. If you just call out on my name, I'll be there. Friends, some of you just need to hear this, and that is simply this. You need to call out on God, and you need to trust it. You've been on the side of the plane for so long. It's time now. It's time for you to just trust the equipment. Jump. Call out on the name of Jesus. Say yes to him. And you will find, I believe, that God is trustworthy. Jesus will be there. And there will come a time where, like you and myself, and that is, okay, how far am I going to go with this? Like, how far are you really going to go with this? How much trust really are you going to give to God? And there will point in time where you're going to say, you know, I have to decide whether I'm going to give everything or not. And my prayer is that as a people, we would grow to become more like, you know, we would say, okay, there's a fork in the road, and one of those is my way, and one of those is God's way, where we would say, okay, it's already decided. I'm going to go God's way. Now, not every fork is like that, but some forks are like that. My way or God's way. This verse says, we're going to go God's way. We're going to trust him. We're going to trust him. And God says he will prove trustworthy. So everyday challenges of life are that where we, you know, we are by trial and error, you know, by testing and evaluating all of these steps, we're proving whether God really is trustworthy or not. But we've got to engage. We have got to engage so that we can say, I trust God. I trust you with all of my heart. Are you there? Do you want to be? Second line. Lean not on your own understanding. What's this mean? Well, it certainly doesn't mean that we have to check out our brains, you know, as we develop as Christians. But there is something very important here, friends, I want us to just make sure we see, and that is this. We ought to be a little bit wary of the human reflex to our intuition on complex situations. In other words, we're not that smart. Even for the smart types, even for those that have got an awful lot of life experience, human logic is often so limited. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it just is. There's so many things about the way we reason things that if we go on our own wisdom, if we go on our own reasoning, if we go on our own logic fully alone, life does not work out very well. We get ourselves into so much trouble. And this verse is just simply saying, be careful now. Do not just fully lean on your own understanding, because that's going to be a problem. You need a wisdom larger, greater, bigger, more fuller reaching than just the wisdom of yourself and myself, humanly speaking. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, we talk an awful lot around Sunridge, and we will continue to, about the importance of just meeting with Jesus on a daily basis. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I want to take a moment and just say, you know, this is what it looks like. This is what it's like in my own life when I, just on a regular basis, meet with Jesus. I don't know what your experience has been when we talk about reading your Bible, but I don't know if all of us have had great experiences with that. I've had some pretty dry, miserable experiences with that. I just have. But there's something about the posture by which we come to God's Word, and it's just, let me say it like this. I come to God's Word in a devotional posture, more for Him to read me than for me to read the Bible. I want to share with you just a morning that I had. We've been just walking through the book of Psalms, and my approach is one that we would just love for you to grow into too, and that is just simply this. We as a church, we just provide a very simple card. And this card, you know, it's rather ordinary in a lot of ways, but I think the beauty and the strength of it is it's simple. But on this card, there's just different passages. There's different passages of Scripture for each day of the month. And so this is the one for September. And so we have these available. And if you were to just simply look at where we are right now, we're in the book of Esther. And you wake up in the morning as I do. Maybe you're a different time of day. But for me, it's the morning. I wake up. And one of the things that I like about this is that it allows me to, I don't have to make a decision about where I'm reading. All I have to do is make a decision as to whether I want mild, regular, or strong coffee in the morning. And it's usually strong, and I hit a button, and that's all I need to do. I take my coffee, I take my Bible, I take my pen, and I take my journal. And I just read with a pen in hand, waiting for there to be something that might catch my attention. I don't have to understand 100% of what I'm reading. Maybe it's 10%. But God uses that. This is what happened one morning in July where I was reading Psalm 26, verse 2. First thing I do is I just write down the verse that caught my attention. This particular morning, it was this verse. It said, "Examine me, Lord, and test me. Evaluate my inner thoughts and motives." That verse, just for whatever reason on that morning, July 21st, just stood out to me. So I wrote it down. And there was three words that really stood out to me. And it was examine, it was test, and it was evaluate. It said, "Examine me, Lord, and test me. Evaluate my inner thoughts and motives." And then what I try and do is just to write a little bit, what's going on? What's it saying? But then I like to say it this way, I squeeze the grapes to get some juice to run through my fingers. Because I want that to run all over me. How does it apply to my life? So here's what the words that I wrote this particular morning. It says, quite a prayer. David is asking the Lord to have a level of involvement in his life that I would call a risky prayer. Number one, examine. David seems to ask God to look deeply at him. This is not a quick glance, but rather it's a concentrated inquiry. It's a good long stare. And I just allowed myself to picture that a little bit. But David doesn't stop there. Number two, test. David says, crank up the pressure, God. This is not just a deep look, but rather a force to see what I'm going to do. Never thought of it quite like that before. So number one, examine. Look deeply. Number two, test. Crank the pressure. Number three, evaluate. David says, tell me the truth, God. Who am I? What's going on in me? Yeah, look deeply. Crank the pressure. What did I end up doing? Give me a grade. This is not just a pat on the head getting an attaboy, but God gives us a mark on how we're doing. I just thought, boy, you know, Mike, this is good verse for you this morning. There were some things going on in my life where I really wanted God to do exactly that. Examine me. Test me. And then evaluate me. It's a risky prayer. And I just closed it off with, you know, yeah, God, this is not an average prayer. This probes far deeper into areas that are unknown to us, unknown to me. I pray this prayer to you personally today. So examine me, test me, evaluate me, Lord, because I trust you. now. I sign off usually every morning just simply saying, mold me and make me. And that's just my way of making sure I'm really clear on who's in charge. I'm clay. He's the potter. Love your son, Mike. Now, that's 20 minutes. But there's a wisdom. There's a knowledge. There's an understanding, God, and his word and what it brings in a fresh way to me on a daily basis, that I think this verse is really wanting us to pay attention. Do not lean on your own understanding. Because if I lean on my own human intuition and my own understanding, I am going to get into a mess. And you will too. So please, friends, maybe as we get into the fall and we're starting new rhythms and we're coming out of summer mode, take a reading guide. Allow it to just serve you. Allow Jesus to just take and have access to your soul and your life and your thoughts and your motives in a way that his word promises that it will. But you need to take the time. You need to give the time. Carve out the time so that God can do that in your life. It's a risky prayer. It spoke to me. And it's something that God wants to speak to you too on a daily basis. Fresh bread. Okay? Third line, in all your ways acknowledge him. So where have we come? We've come, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now, this line is a really important line too, because there can come points where we love God, we love Jesus, and we're following him, but we may be keeping an area in our life. We want to keep that control. We don't want to acknowledge God in every way, most ways, maybe 9 out of 10 ways, just not all of them. And it's that one area that many of us we have. We just have that one area that we just don't want to surrender. Like we're getting 99%, but it's that one area. We just don't want to let it go. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's recreation. Maybe it's your sexuality. Maybe it's a lot of different things. Whatever it is, you've got a hold on it, and you just don't want to acknowledge him in that way. In all the other ways, but not in that way. You know, we say, I know what your word says. Risky prayer. Yeah, you know, examine me, test me, evaluate me. I know what your prompting of your spirit is. But God, I got this one. I got this one. No, his word says, you know, acknowledge me in all your ways. And that one area will, I'm not saying might, that one area will eventually whack you. And it'll affect other areas of your life. We do not acknowledge God in all our ways. Eventually, friends, this is, you must just write it down. If we think we're going to manage that better than God, what God is going to do, he's going to let us learn the hard way. And maybe you're one of those that just, you know, you need to learn every lesson in life the hard way. Wow. You know, that's just a tough way to go. I hope that you and I, we can do better. Save ourselves some pain, save some people around us some pain, and we can just learn to just really acknowledge him in all our ways. Everyone, even that secret one, because it's going to save a ton of heartache and a huge amount of frustration. Proverbs says, just don't subject yourself to that kind of risk. It's really high stakes. Acknowledge him in every compartment, every area, even the one you think nobody knows about. How many holes does it take to sink a boat? One. Not even a big one. When we begin to try and hang on to that one area, it's like one hole in our boat, and we will go down. When we acknowledge God in all our ways, it's like we patch holes in our boat, and we won't go down. Today could be the day where you'd give that one secret area, that area you think nobody knows about. In fact, if you're honest, you may even think God doesn't even know. But truth is, he does. And you know he does. Acknowledge him, friends, in all your ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Final line, just some thoughts. We have to be extremely careful, I think, what we think this line says. Because it's not saying that Jesus will make you healthy and wealthy and happy and popular and thin. God is not saying that. What it's saying is that he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, God will direct your life. God will give your life direction. He will give your life purpose. He will give your life meaning. He will guide your life, and he will give you satisfaction in your life. He will make your path straight. I'm 49, turning 50 next year. 25 years ago almost, I came to this point where I had to make that decision. How far was I going to go? How far was I actually going to trust? And I've let down God a lot over almost this quarter century. But I'm telling you honestly, like as honest as I can be, as sincere as I can be, like in 25 years, I cannot tell you one time where I've ever felt God was untrustworthy. He just has always proved true. I haven't, but God has. And I've just decided, you know, I'm going to just carry on living this way for the next 25, if God gives me another 25. I'm just going to keep as best I can. God, I want to give every area, not just 9 out of 10. I want to give every area. And through devotions, I see, okay, I'm hanging on to something here. And God says, yeah, you are. And I got to recommit that, and I got to give that. It's a daily thing, weekly thing, monthly thing. It's a process. But I'm going to do the same drill for the next 25. And I want to ask you, as soberly as I can, do you trust Jesus, really? What areas in your life do you really need to just say, boy, you know, I'm not sure? Because you got that choice. You can manage your own life. You can do it your own way. You can bat 50%, worse, better. You can hit, you know, that way. You can do that. But, friends, let me just push a little harder, and that is just to simply say this. You don't know what you'll miss if you don't trust God fully with your life. Jeremiah 29, I love this verse. Verse just simply says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope." And I guess the thing is this, for you and I to not fully ever come to that point to trust Jesus with your life, you'll never know what it is, good, and that great hope and future that God would have had in store for you. Listen, I believe that God has an adventure with your name on it. Every single one of us do. And there's a lot of hard that comes into that adventure. There's no mistaking that. Life is hard. But it's an adventure that is right and good if we're honest. And I guess it really comes down to, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to decide to really lean in and just have our trust grow in the person of Jesus that has always proved trustworthy? Or are we going to hang on to the control ourselves? It's a trust issue. It's a matter of trust. And whenever there's trust involved, there's risk and a decision needs to be made. So I guess the decision really is simply this. Will you trust? Will you trust Jesus? Worship team, why don't you come on up? I want to ask just a couple of questions. We're going to move into a time of communion. And, you know, if I were to just have you be as honest as you can be, you know, just between you and God now, and that is, you know, to ask the question, you know, how much trust do you really have in Jesus? That's maybe a hard one to answer. So let me ask you this. Is there areas in your own life where you just because of, you know, your own arrogance, could I say it that way? You lean into your own understanding an awful lot. You lean there. You lean into your own understanding. And the problem is that God says, you know what? If you're fully leaning on your own human side, you're going to miss the blessing. How much do you trust Jesus, really? Are you leaning into your own way of thinking, your own way of thought, your own way of decision-making, your own way of what you think is right and wrong morally, your own way? Is that where you are? Halfway, maybe three-quarter way, quarter way? Maybe this morning you could just say, oh, God, I want to confess that I do this too often. I lay it down. I want your word to wash over my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to allow the Bible to find its way into my heart. Yeah, I'm going to start to do a regular time with you. I'm going to open the Bible. I'm going to get a reading guide. I'm going to let it wash over me because I need your wisdom in my life. I'll do that. Maybe that's a decision you want to make this morning. How much do you trust Jesus? Do you acknowledge him in all areas? Or 8 out of 10? 9 out of 10? What's that one area, friends, where you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit is pegging you? You know it. He's got something highlighted in your life where you know that if you're honest, that one you haven't trusted God on. Friends, why don't you trust God until he proves untrustworthy with that? Maybe some of you are ready to just pray a prayer that sounds like something like this. If you're ready to just trust Jesus today, let me just pray these words for you as if they're your words. God, I'm going to trust you with my whole heart. And I'm not going to rely on my own insight totally. In every single one of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you. And I'm going to let you direct my life. God, I pray that you would really be speaking in this room right now. To every brother, every sister. Lord, I would ask that as we move to the table and we pick up a broken piece of bread, that it would remind us of your broken body. As we dip it in the cup, it would remind us bloodshed, the huge price, the huge demonstration, the beautiful picture of ultimate trustworthiness. God, I pray you do something in our hearts that would allow us to really truly understand trusting in the Lord with all of our heart in a new way today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell you what was going through my heart just as we're singing that last song. This picture of I give you my whole life, in that last song we sang. We've sang that song a lot, and I wonder, have I really done that? Here's the thing. I think it really matters that we get this right as a people. If we don't have the foundation of a trust in God, then we can talk all we want about loving our city. We can talk all we want about loving our neighbor, but if we don't trust God, we're going to have a very difficult time with that. I think my prayer is, God, would you just do in me that I could really do what I just sang? Get that trust so deep in me that I can't help but love my neighbor, that I can't help but but move toward even the uncomfortable. I'm looking forward to this series that we're coming into, Isn't She Lovely, The Bride of Christ, because we often look at Acts 2 as this amazing, dynamic picture of the church. But I don't know if we really would sign up for what those people signed up for. They met every day. They shared all their stuff. Do we really want to share all our stuff? They did. God moved. There was a watching each other's back. They were devoted to one another. We're gonna really look hard and long at what it was God did. And I want to just be a people. I want to be a family. I want to be a community where we'd say, God, I'm not there, but I want to be. And move us. And I think it begins with trust. Because if we trust, then we'll trust where he takes us, even if we're a little bit scared. Wouldn't that be a good journey to go on? I pray we will. So may God bless you and God keep you. May God smile on you and be gracious to you. May God show you his favor and grant you his peace. And may we be a people, God, that just trusts you fully, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, so that the fame of yourself and the glory of yourself will be seen by all, in Jesus' name. Amen.